You may turn to Luke chapter 2, please, for our scripture reading this morning. What child is this? Well, it was the Son of God who was born in the manger many, many years ago. I started thinking about that this week, and I thought about this. Have you ever thought about the goodbye in heaven when God the Son left God the Father to come to this earth to be born? I tried to imagine what that would be, you know, in heaven, and that farewell to come to this earth, and it was just, you know, beyond what I could even think about. Okay. Luke chapter 2, please, and I'll read the Christmas story. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all the world went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of a great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The writer said it was a silent night, yet there was music. It was a dark night, yet there was light. Bethlehem, the place of our Lord's birth. Today, the population of Bethlehem is some 60,000. If you know anything about that part of the world, you know that Bethlehem is a troubled city. It's on the west bank of occupied territory in Israel. So there is a lot of conflict today in that small village. Bethlehem was a small village located about 6 miles south from Jerusalem. At that time in the history of the world, when Jesus was born, it was really a very insignificant place. The prophet Micah, in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, prophesied some 500 years before the birth of Jesus that this would be the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And so it was a very small place, very insignificant place, but that was the place prophesied where Jesus would be born. In about 325 A.D., Constantine's mother built some kind of shrine or something, you would call it, over the location of the traditional birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. If you ever go there, you know that today what is on that location, there is a Greek Orthodox church built there. It was built in about 525 A.D., so that church has stood over the birthplace, the traditional birthplace of Jesus Christ. And as you go in and you enter that Greek Orthodox church, you know this, that the traditional birthplace of Jesus is really a cave rather than the traditional manger scene that we understand and the one that we think about at Christmas time. Now, the truth of the matter is this, we really don't know where the location was other than it was in Bethlehem where Jesus was born. Bethlehem has a long tradition in the Bible. Bethlehem was the place where Jacob buried his wife Rachel. The Bible tells us that in the book of Ruth that Bethlehem was the place where Ruth fell in love with Boaz, who was her lover and kinsman redeemer. And then we know also from the Bible that Bethlehem was the house of David. It was the village where David kept the sheep. And later it was the place and location where Samuel the prophet came and anointed David as the king of Israel. Bethlehem's meaning is the house of bread. And so I do not think that it was a coincidence that the bread of life, Jesus Christ, was born in that village known as the house of bread. So today we're going to do what the shepherds did. We're going to go quickly to Bethlehem. Now, the way I want to apply this story today, and like Jeff said, you know, preaching this for 39 years, y'all, you know, it is the same story. You don't improve on the story, but what you want to do is try to be fresh with it, and so that's what I want to do today. And so in thinking about Bethlehem, here's what I believe the Lord intends for me to share with you today. He wants your life and my life to be a Bethlehem. So how do we understand that from the story of Scripture today? Well, like I said in Micah 5:2, Micah, many years before the birth of Jesus, had prophesied that this small village would be the place of the birth of our Savior. So today I want to think about three things. Number one, Bethlehem is a place of potential. Now, when you think about Bethlehem and you think about the population of Bethlehem back then, it was a small village. Not many people lived in the place called Bethlehem. But here's the significance of Bethlehem in the Scripture. All the events of the Christmas story had to be brought about for Bethlehem to be the place that would fulfill the prophecy of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, the prophecy was written about Bethlehem some 500 years before this event ever happened. And so everything had to come together for this. So it was a place of great potential, even though, as the Bible says, it was a small village. Today, as I look over this congregation today, you know what I see? I see potential. I see potential in every person that's here today, regardless of your age, regardless of background, regardless of where you are today. You have potential. Why? Because God sees in every person the potential. Why? He wants to use you and He wants to use me for His glory and for His honor. So we all bring a potential to the table today. Think about this example from the Bible. Look at Simon Peter. When the Lord saw Simon Peter, you know what He said about Peter? He said, Peter, you are a stone, but your potential will be this. You will become a rock. Now, you look at Peter. He had his ups and downs. He had his highs and lows. I mean, Peter was a strong, rough man, fisherman, and the Lord used him in a mighty way. And so what the Lord saw in him was not what Peter was. But what He saw in Peter and what He sees in all of us is not what we are, but He sees in us what we can become with the grace of God. Amen. And so when God sees potential, what it is a story of grace. It is the goodness of grace in of God's grace in your life. It's the goodness of God's grace in my life. And that's what God really does see in every person. He sees that potential that we bring to Him. Bethlehem was a small village, but what the Lord saw in it was the place of potential, the place of our birth, of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two, Bethlehem also is a place of providence. Now, I want you to think about all the events that had to happen to bring this event together. The government had to be right. The politics had to be right. The Bible tells us in the Christmas story that Caesar Augustus sent out this decree. So, you know, God was working in the life of Caesar. He was working in the life of the governor, Serenius. He was working in the life of the shepherds who came. He was working in the life of Mary and Joseph, who made the journey to Bethlehem. You see, Bethlehem is located in what is known as Judea. It's located in southern Israel. Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. Nazareth was located in the northern part of Israel. The Bible speaks often of the land of Galilee. Well, that's where Nazareth was located. Nazareth was 70 miles from Bethlehem. Here is an expecting mother that could give birth at any time. So what did they have to do? They had to leave Nazareth and make a 70-mile journey to Bethlehem. Who is orchestrating this? Who is working all this to come about? Who would know the exact time of the delivery of this baby? Only God could know that. You see, Bethlehem is a place of providence. Your life and my life is a life of providence. God's providence in your life and my life is working as it did here in Bethlehem to bring glory and honor to Him. Now, you think about this also when you think about the Christmas story. And making this journey of 70 miles, you think about all the circumstances that had to come together for that. But why would they leave at that point in their lives to make that journey? Well, you see, the decree was this. You had to go and you had to register. And that was important for two historical reasons. Number one, for the military purpose, you had to register with Rome. But now Joseph didn't have to do that because he was Jewish, and Jewish, you know, males did not serve in the Roman army. They were not drafted, but also that it was for taxation. And so they were going to make sure, Rome was going to make sure that they got the tax from everybody, and it was pretty much like a census also to keep track of the population. So see, that came together at the right time for that. You see, we really don't know the exact date of the birth of Jesus Christ. We don't know the day of it. We celebrate the 25th of December. The way that came about was the bishop at Jerusalem had wrote a letter to the bishop at Rome wanting to know the exact, you know, the date to celebrate the birth of Christ. And so the bishop at Rome sent back a letter to the bishop of Jerusalem and said, okay, it's December 25th. And, you know, the tradition is carried on, and so today we celebrate the 25th as the birthday. The thing about it is we don't know the exact date. The exact date is not important. What is important is that Jesus Christ was born. That's the part of it. But as far as potential, as far as providence in your life and my life, you know, Mary and Joseph could have seen this as a great problem. How are we going to make this journey, not knowing, you know, that she could, you know, deliver at any time, to make that journey back then? That was some journey to make. And you think about all those circumstances that they had to overcome to do that, but yet in God's providence, He brought about a great thing. Sometimes in your life and my life, when it comes to the providence of God, we may see things as problems. You may see a circumstance in your life now as a problem and as a difficulty. But you see, God is using that problem in your life and my life to bring us to Bethlehem. God is using that circumstance in your life and my life to bring us to that place of potential, to bring us to that place of providence so that we can bring glory and honor to Him. Thirdly, Bethlehem was a place of privilege. When I think about privilege and I think about the privilege that Bethlehem had, the privilege certainly was this, that it was chosen to be the village of the birthplace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I've lived in different places, but I do know this. It is a great privilege to be able to live in East Tennessee. If you ever move away from East Tennessee and you get in other places, I mean, there's good places all over the country. I understand that and I know that. But I tell you where my heart is. My heart is in East Tennessee. And I love it. And we have a great privilege here. You think about the privilege that we have today of the freedom to worship, to be able to come during this Christmas season to worship today and to look, you know, to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do that in freedom, and what a great, great privilege that is. Now, why Bethlehem? Well, it fulfilled prophecy, the prophecy of Micah 5:2, and so that was significant, and that's why Bethlehem. But why Bethlehem? Well, you know, why not Rome? You know, Rome was the political seat of the world of that day. Why not there? Why not Greece? Greece was not the political, but the seat of philosophy of that day. I mean, the great universities of that day were located in Greece. Why not Greece? Well, you know, why not Jerusalem? I mean, the religious headquarters of that day was Jerusalem. Why not there? Why Bethlehem? Why did Bethlehem have the privilege of being the birthplace of Jesus our Lord? You know what I believe about that? I believe this. I believe God was sending us a message. And the message is this, that the hope of the world is not in politics. The hope of the world is not in philosophy. The hope of the world is not in religion. But the hope of the world is found in a privileged small village called Bethlehem. The hope of the world is that place where our Savior was born many, many years ago. And you know, that is a great message in itself. Jesus is not coming, you know, to Caesar's palace. This is not the universities of Greece that He came to. This is not the seat of religion, but in a small, common village. Jesus came to the lowly, and Jesus came to those who would open their lives to Him. And that's the message, I think, of Bethlehem and what it says to us. I have in my library a book written by Philip Brooks. He was the pastor of Holy Trinity Church for many years there in Philadelphia. And in 1865, Philip Brooks, that pastor, took a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Now, back then, you know, you didn't fly. So, you know, he had to go by ship. So by ship, he traveled to the Holy Land to make his pilgrimage. And in this book, according to his writing, in 1865, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem on Christmas Eve night, he made a trip by horseback to the city and village of Bethlehem. And so he had time to reflect and to think about, you know, what all transpired at Bethlehem. And then, according to his writing, a few years later, in Christmas season of 1868, he sat down and he penned the words that we know, "O little town of Bethlehem." And the way he put it was this way: the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. What a beautiful thought, and what a beautiful song. The Savior of the world was born that night in Bethlehem. It was good news that became great joy to all people who would receive this great gift. The poet said it this way: what shall be our gift to Him? What shall I give Him, poor as I am? If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. What shall I give Him? I know I'll give Him my heart. And when we do, we also become a Bethlehem. When we give Him our heart and life, we become a person of potential. We become a person of providence. And we become a person of privilege. So I'm asking you today, have you received this gift? So many times at Christmas time we think about this gift. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 9:15. He said, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Another translation says it this way: thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. The gift is eternal. The gift is essential. The gift is expensive. The gift is extensive. The gift is exclusive. You'll receive gifts this year. It's not going to last very long. You'll receive a gift this year. You can either live with it or live without it. But you appreciate the thought. And you appreciate the people who give the gift. But there is a gift that you cannot do without. And that is the gift of Jesus Christ, the Savior who was born at Bethlehem. See, the essence of Christmas is this: a Savior has been born to save us from our sin. This morning we're going to sing a gospel invitation. And if you've never received this greatest gift, I'm asking you to receive this gift of Christmas. See, your life is a life of potential. It is a life of providence. And it is a life of privilege to be able to receive the greatest gift that's ever been given. Let's stand for our time of invitation. Lord, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the story of Christmas, and it is a story that's very familiar with us. But Lord, I'm afraid at Christmas time so many people really miss the true meaning of this story. Father, I pray that there'd be no one who really misses the true meaning of Christmas this morning. As we come to this time of invitation today, I pray if there's one who needs to come and receive this great gift of eternal life, this great gift of forgiveness of sin, the greatest gift that's ever been given, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died in our place on the cross. Father, I pray that there'd be those who'd come today and say yes. I pray that they would leave today from this place, being a person of potential, being a person of providence, and being a person of great privilege. Thank You, Lord, for this story. And thank You for the meaning and the reason for Christmas. In Your name we pray. Amen.